Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
And kicking off our show this week on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio, we're visiting with the head football coach at Santa Margarita High School. Yeah, that's Rich Fisher. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We want to talk a little bit about it. We'll start with your story. This is not your first stop as a high school coach, even though a lot of the story has been told of you coming from the college ranks to come take this job. But you've been a high school coach before in Massachusetts. When you got your start there, did you ever think this whole trip that it was going to take to and get you out here to California? Could you ever imagine that this is where all this was going to lead you?
I didn't think that I'd end up in California, that's for sure. Didn't really anticipate that I'd be back at the high school level coaching, but at the end of the day, coaching is coaching, and mentoring and teaching young kids, it really doesn't matter what level you're at. Just I'm thankful for the opportunity and excited to be here.
What are your earliest memories of football? What really got you into the sport?
Well, I grew up in Texas, so it's at a young age.
It's life down there, right?
It is. It's life out here too. We're starting to understand that, but you grow up in an environment where the Friday night lights is just that. Your town and your community is invested in football, and I was fortunate to play for a real good high school coach, Buster Gilbert, back in Texas, who at one point in time was the winningest high school coach. So had a lot of history there. So got to play for a guy that obviously respected a lot and learned a lot from, and it kind of started me on my track.
At what point did you know that you wanted to pursue, college football, that was, something that that appealed to you as well?
Well, I played in college. And so, like most guys, when they're done, you do one or two things. You get into a line of work that you're not really sure about. For me, in my case, I really missed football after it was over, and was really fortunate. The coach that recruited me to Colorado, Bob Simmons, got the head coaching job at Oklahoma State in 95, and I was a couple years removed from college, and took the opportunity to get back into it. Really didn't grow up wanting to be a coach, but really missed it after I was done playing, and that was really the birth of it.
You go from, as you mentioned, huge high school program, big time college football program at Colorado. At some point, do you think, hey, I got to maybe step back a little bit? I got to sort of learn this job being a high school football coach. How easy or tough was that to say, hey, I want to get into coaching, and what does that take?
Well, at the time, I think when you're young, as a young head coach, you jump on the opportunity that's presented, and that opportunity was to be a graduate assistant at Oklahoma State. I was a little spoiled at Colorado, come to find out. My first 2 years there, we played for the national title, and I think 47 draft picks from my time there that I played with from my freshman year all the way to my senior year, which is unheard of. And at that point in time, when Colorado was rolling. And so then you go to a program like Oklahoma State, and you find out that there's the have and the have-nots, and that was definitely a have-not. And so that was that was an eye-opening experience. But I just think the whole process of being around great coaches, when I started my career at Oklahoma State, Les Miles was the offensive coordinator there. Mike Gundy was the quarterback coach. So you didn't realize it at the time, but you're surrounded by two future head coaches, guys that obviously are at the top of their craft. And then you move from there. I moved on to Colorado with Rick Neuheisel and Carl Durrell, who's the receiver coach at the Jets now. And then Tom Cable came onto that staff where I met him and followed him to the University of Idaho. So I was real fortunate at a young age to be surrounded by some really good coaches, learn work ethic, learn the game of football, both offense and defense. I actually played defense in college, but transferred over into the offensive football earlier in my career. And again, really fortunate to be able to coach both sides collegially, offense and defense. So I think it's helped me grow as a coach, and hopefully we're able to pass that along to the kids we're coaching now.
All those names you just mentioned, they're all recognizable. Everybody knows who all those guys are. Are you just trying to be a sponge at that point and just pick up as many things as you can from all these different coaches?
Yeah, I think that, like I said, at the time you didn't know it because they weren't, established head coaches, but you knew that there was they had a tremendous work ethic, great knowledge of the game, and then Gary Barnett, at the end of my GA career there at Colorado, Gary Barnett came in And then what I did mention is when I went and took the high school job in Massachusetts, Bill Belichick's son was the quarterback there. So I was able to kind of forge that relationship. And so I count myself really blessed in terms of my career, being able to be around some really, really great coaches in the industry.
Obviously, I mean, Belichick, legendary in the Massachusetts area. What was it like getting that chance to be a high school coach now and working with kids who were really just maybe starting out on their journey?
You know, it's a totally different brand of football. I mean, at the high school level, just teaching the absolute fundamentals of the game and understanding of the game, how to prepare, just the X's and O's. That part is obviously a little bit different. But at the same time, I think it's cool to watch a kid really grow. You know, they change so much from the time they're a freshman in high school till they're a senior in high school in terms of putting on weight and just the development as an athlete. And, you know, some kids come in as a freshman and they're playing, you know, wide receiver. And next thing you know, they've gained 50 pounds and they're playing on the offensive line, you know. So it's cool to see that transformation take place. And it's been an awesome opportunity here for us.
And then Bo Pelini just calls you one day and says, hey, I want you to be my receivers coach at Nebraska. How does that end up happening for you?
Well, it's funny because when I started in 95, I was a GA, and Bo was the linebacker coach at New England for Pete Carroll. And my college roommate was drafted by the Patriots, played for the Patriots, and Bo was coaching him. So when I would go back to visit, obviously being new to coaching and Bo being a young coach, we were roughly right around the same age. You know, I was really fortunate. He let me sit in on meetings and got to be around those guys and watch the professionals work and, you know, and see a young coach like Bo get an opportunity. So we had a long-standing relationship before that. We had a couple opportunities where things just didn't work out. We tried to work together a couple times, and it just the timing was right. And so in 2000, I guess it was 11 there, after a couple years at the high school, took the opportunity to go to Nebraska.
So what was it like to go from heading up a whole program, you know, like at the high school, being a head coach, and then just focusing on one part of the game? Was that a challenge you look forward to?
Well, it actually helps in a lot of ways. I think being a head high school coach, there's so many hats that you wear just in terms of running the overall program. You don't quite have the same kind of support system, you know, that you do at the collegiate level. There's a lot of people in a lot of roles doing a lot of things. So the cool thing about Bo is Bo let you coach. You know, he used to say to us, you're the head coach of your room, you know. And so I think actually coaching at the high school level, the organization that takes place and all of the, like I said, all the hats that you have to wear actually lended itself to helping the transition.
Visiting with Rich Fisher, the head football coach out here at Santa Margarita High School in the Trinity League, and as they continue on their season schedule here. You got a chance to put a couple guys in the pros, a couple names that we recognize, Quincy Enunwa, Kenny Bell, a couple guys you worked with at Nebraska who moved on. When you see a kid come in, can you tell right away that the kids that are real special and are going to be able to make that jump to the next level?
Well, you know, when you recruit a kid to college, the majority of the time, all those kids were the best of the best. So you have great athletes all across the board. As a matter of fact, everybody in the room is typically a very highly recruited kid. And so, you know, the work ethic, the desire, the will to want to be great, the preparation, all the little things that it takes is really what separates those guys at that level. So, you know, you have an opportunity to really see what kids are desiring to be great. You know, Quincy comes to mind. When Quincy came into Nebraska, he wasn't polished by any means, but he had a tremendous work ethic, probably one of the hardest working guys I've ever coached. So when you have a great attitude, you have great effort, it's pretty easy to be able to give those guys the tools and then let them go out and develop those tools. So he's definitely a self-made guy. You know, Kenny Bell came in known as a speed receiver, per se, coming out of high school. And same thing, played multiple positions at high school. He really wasn't dialed in to one. Had a broken collarbone, which set him back a little bit in recruiting. So we were really fortunate to get him. But both of those guys, you know, I think are at the top of, I think Kenny is the all-time leading receiver at Nebraska. And Quincy broke Johnny Rogers' Heisman Trophy touchdown receptions in a year there. So they were able to accomplish a lot of great things, and it was a pleasure to coach guys that, you know, are that caliber of athlete.
Again, you know, such a tradition-rich program at Nebraska, which had to be fun. As happens at some point, you know, a team maybe doesn't do so well. There's a change in direction. Bo Pelini is let go in Nebraska, and the staff is obviously let go. What's the thought process then at that point, not only for you, but obviously for an entire coaching staff? Everybody's scrambling to look for a job, I imagine.
Yeah, it's just the environment you live in. I mean, there's, you know, the old adage, there's those coaches that have been fired and those that are going to be fired. So you kind of understand the volatility of the of coaching, really, at any level. The bottom line is it's about wins and losses. Everybody wants to win, and we did a lot of great things there. We accomplished some great feats. Very proud of what we were able to do. I think in our 7 years there, we won 9 or more games. There were only 2 other programs in the country to do that, Alabama and Oregon, over that span, and had a 3.0 GPA. You know, our kids stayed out of trouble. So, you know, sometimes it's not always about the wins and losses. You can look at, even though they decide to make a change, there's a necessary ending in life in a lot of aspects. And so you don't look at yourself as a failure. You just look at the next opportunity.
You didn't coach anywhere in, I guess, 2015. What did you think were your prospects? Was that just a chance to maybe reflect a little bit and maybe try to find the next opportunity that fit for you?
Well, there were a couple. There was a couple opportunities, but like everything, you know, you sit down with your family and you decide what is best for everybody involved. And we just felt like at the time to let my son finish his senior year there. I had one that was a senior, one that was finishing his freshman year. And so we wanted the kids to be able to enjoy their high school experience. I did have a couple opportunities that I passed on. I spent a week at Northwestern with Pat Fitzgerald, who was a former roommate of mine when we were coaching early in our career, and got to go back and visit with Belichick for a week. Went down to Jacksonville Jaguars for a week, came out here to USC. Clay Helton and I went to high school together. So you're just able to go around, watch others run their program, how they practice, how they live, how they prepare, all those things. So it actually was a blessing in disguise, because you get new ideas.
We're visiting with the head football coach at Santa Margarita High School, and that is Rich Fisher. When we'll take a quick break here on Catholic Sports Scene. When we come back, we'll find out how his journey brought him here to Santa Margarita High School and the Trinity League. Right back after this.
Join Bishop Kevin Phan and Catholics from throughout Southern California on December 11th at 1 p.m. for the second annual Catholic Hockey Night at the Honda Center. Purchase discounted tickets to watch the Ducks take on the Ottawa Senators. Stay after the game to cheer on Servite Catholic High School and Santa Margarita Catholic High School as they take to the ice for a special exhibition game. For tickets, go to nhl.com/ducks/tickets/Catholic Night or visit occatholic.com.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family 4 spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm Bob Gibson, your host, and we're visiting with Rich Fisher. He is the head coach at Santa Margarita High School, head football coach. And Coach, when we left off at our previous segment, you'd taken the year off in 2015, gotten the chance to kind of go back and meet with some great coaches that you've had a chance to cross paths with over the years. How did this Santa Margarita job present itself? How were you made known of it? And what was the thought process and not even considering making the move out here to Southern California?
Well, it was interesting because take a chance when you're sitting out that an opportunity will present itself. And fortunately, I had a couple opportunities. Was actually in the process of interviewing at a couple other schools collegiately. You go through the whole year and you don't hear much. And then all of a sudden, within the span of a couple weeks, you got a flurry of decisions to make, you know, relative to what is the best for you and your family. So actually had a real good friend of mine back in Boston, a guy by the name of Steve Burton, who we were talking one day. I was getting some information couple jobs that we had mutual friends involved that he was helping me with. And he had mentioned that this job was open. And did I ever think about going back to high school? He was involved in my career, turned around the program back in Boston. And at the time, really, my first thought was no, you know, not really interested. Got some other offers on the table that I felt like were more attractive. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's funny how God just keeps opening doors and leading you in the direction he wants you to go. And I got a phone call from Andy Sulik here one day, pretty funny, called me up and said, Coach, Andy Sulik, Santa Margarita High School. And I actually initially thought that he was calling about a recruit. You know, helping some kids out. And I had mentioned to him, said, Coach, you know, I'm not at Nebraska. No, I understand that. And he said, your time is precious. So I'm going to make this quick. We got an opening. We got your name. We're interested. If you'd like to talk, we'd love to speak to you about it. And so we talked for about 45 minutes on the phone, and he convinced me to get on a plane and come out and look at the school. I had recruited the school basically since 2003, so I was aware of the Trinity, recruited out here for Nebraska and Orange County. So I know the caliber of football, know the school. It became pretty attractive after you found out, number one, the administration and the backing and what their plans were and their hopes and visions for the program. And ultimately, we felt like this was the best place for me and my family.
Did that help, the fact that it's not a cold move? You're familiar with the area a little bit. You've been here before. You've been on campus. You've talked with the other head coaches, obviously, here in the past. I imagine that you know, helped a little bit in the thought process.
It helps a little bit. And I'll tell you, I usually get on the plane to recruit in November and December, and there's snow on the ground in Nebraska and the Midwest. And then you get in your car out here when you land at LAX and it's sunny and 70, and that helps a lot. And but you're right. I mean, I was familiar with Orange County and the quality of life out here. And, you know, at this stage of the game for me and my career, the opportunity just to run your own program again, hire your coaches, which we were able to do, and your vision for what you have, be able to implement it, was really too hard to pass on.
Rich Fisher is our guest here on Catholic Sports View this week on Immaculate Heart Radio here on Catholic Sports View. Coach, you mentioned you know, maybe a little bit of divine intervention that may have kind of led you this way. How much is faith lead you here in the job? How much, obviously, it's a Catholic you know, education that these kids are receiving. Yeah, how important is that to you? How important is that to this program?
Well, it's the number one thing. I played for a tremendous Christian coach in Bill McCartney, and really playing for him and being around him has changed my life. It led me to being a Christian in 1991, and you know, you learn real quick that God's got a plan and a purpose for our life. Sometimes it's not our time, it's His time, and whatever His book that He's written for us plays out, He's going to make sure that He leads us in that direction. And so I'm thankful that you know, I'm at an institution where you can profess your faith, you can talk to your kids, you can share with them. You know, and there's no quote unquote separation of church and state, you know, and so that obviously had a big influence on me taking this job as well. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is football, and it is a crazy football area. People are very passionate about the game of football, but football does end. And, you know, our job as coaches is to teach them the game of life and teach them how to make good decisions, teach them about accountability. You know, in our program, we talk a lot about there's always going to be an event, there's going to be a decision, and then there's going to be a consequence. And we want to teach them about making good decisions, teach them about surrounding themselves with good character and good people and being a great teammate. And ultimately, I think if you get those things and you develop your program that way, the wins and losses will come because you're going to have some high caliber kids in your program.
Obviously, you wouldn't be brought into the job if the program had been going along as it did in the early days, especially in the days with Coach Welch, where the state championship, and we know all the history here in Orange County, and you know it as well, Carson Palmer, Billy Newman, John Minardi, you know, Johnny Stanton, all the great names that have come through Santa Margarita. One thing I noticed about the Trinity League in particular is that so many of these football programs are run like college programs, seemingly. Was that part of the attraction too? Was the chance to come in? You mentioned you got to put your own staff in place, but these aren't just normal, you know, quote-unquote high school programs in the Trinity League. This really is high-caliber, high-level football.
You know, it's funny you say that. We were talking the other day as a staff, and in a lot of ways, it is run like college. It is 1AA football. I mean, it is college football from really how the kids are being prepared in the classroom, especially here with our academic standards. You know, the quality of athlete that you play week in and week out, you know, you're going to line up against kids that are going to be heavily recruited. So the competition level obviously is very high. This is probably one of the, if not the highest recruited league, you know, in America. And so all those things obviously are attractive. And like you said, we're very aware of the rich history of the program and what it was and the kids that we recruited out of here. I actually coached John at Colorado when I was there as a GA and recruited Johnny Stanton out of here. I recruited Turek and those guys. So you know what the program can be. Obviously, it's been down for a while, but our hope and aspiration is that we can get it back to being a competitive program in the Trinity League.
Is it fun for you to be on the other end of the phone now instead of being the one calling about, hey, I'm trying to recruit this kid out of here? Now you got the coaches calling you, right, saying, hey, give me a line on this kid, right?
It's different, but it's all the same. You know, I think the great thing is that, you know, when I do talk to, because coaching profession is such a small world, and mm-hmm. having been in the collegiate environment and the high school, seeing it from both sides and developing those relationships, it's a lot easier. You know, when you're recruiting a kid and you don't know a coach, you don't know much about him, you try to do as much as you can to evaluate, you know, the kid that you're recruiting. And I think what's helped here a little bit is, you know, a lot of these coaches I've coached against, coached with, see new faces and old faces all the time. And so I think it lends a little bit more credibility, you know, when you talk about a kid, because they understand that you've been where they've been. And you know, you're not just trying to sell a product, but you're going to make sure you're putting your name on a kid and that they can trust, you know, what you say. And so I think that helps. You know, it's funny, you know, you're usually the one for the last couple of years, you've been making the phone call. And now, like you said, you're receiving it. But I'd rather have it that way, you know, than nobody walking through here.
Right, exactly. I imagine in addition to something else for the kids that might help them is, just certain kids that come through here and the college recruiters are going to line up, you know, they're going to have their pick, but you know, there are the kids who are on the cusp, you know, and maybe, you know, aren't the highly recruited kid, and you're going to be able to help maybe get them to a place where they're going to get an education paid for them. They're going to get to play some college football. I imagine that's got to be something that would make you feel real good being able to help a kid, you know, kind of get to that next level as well.
That's the hope. You know, I was really, like I said, fortunate. We talked a little bit about the staff, but you know, the majority of these guys here coaching with us, not only played in college, but they coached in college.
Coach, I want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View, and we wish you luck along the rest of the way as you head into the playoffs. More to come here on Catholic Sports View. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this quick break.
The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange. Now is your chance to support Catholic education and the future of our Catholic faith. Subscribe to the OC Catholic newspaper today, and we'll make a financial contribution to the Catholic school of your choice. Simply visit occatholic.com/subscribe and select the school within the Diocese of Orange that you'd like to support, and we'll make a gift in your name. You also get the award-winning OC Catholic newspaper at your door with the OC Register newspaper every Sunday for 1 year. This is win-win all around. Go to occatholic.com/subscribe. Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. Joining us right now is Carlo Campana, and he's the Sports League Coordinator at the Diocese of Orange. Carlo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Hey, explain to everybody who may not know, and some out there may already know about it, but kind of give us an overview of the Orange County Catholic Sports League.
All right, so we reach out to those young adults ranging from the age of 18 to 39, and we offer them two sports leagues. We currently have basketball and soccer right now. We're actually heading into playoffs right now this week on Saturday. And we just offer them the opportunity to play basketball in an organized way where we have referees, we play at a gym, we have games, we have playoffs, a championship trophy, and the same goes for soccer. And we just offer them this opportunity to actually, like, be able to continue playing on from high school and continue playing the sport they love, basketball or soccer, and then currently working on adding softball into the mix. And we just love having the opportunity to work with young adults constantly. We give them this opportunity as well as what we call one-time events that happen once a month, whether it be like ice skating, rollerblading, jumping on a trampoline, just anything kind of sports-related, volleyball. That's pretty much what we do, what I focus on, and really try to bring in all our young adults from the Diocese of Orange.
Who's eligible to sign up for these leagues?
So the age range, they have to be between 18 and 39. And then from there on, just like if they're able to play, they're more than happy to join. There is a fee, like any other league that's offered. And currently, like for basketball, it's $70. And for soccer, it's $92. And we have 10 basketball teams in our basketball league. And we have over almost about 12 teams in our soccer league. And each team has about 10 players for basketball. And then for soccer, they have to have 13 players, but usually they have quite a bit more. So quite a big crowd joining us.
Yeah,
Saturday night games or Saturday morning games.
Did you find that there was a need for this in the community? Were people in the community asking for this kind of an outlet? Or did somebody say, hey, this is something that might benefit the community?
Well, this started about 10 years ago with just soccer. And there was just like this overwhelming, like, we want this to happen. We want a league. We want to be able to play with parishes, like parish against parish. Because we have, like, say, for instance, like, Christ Cathedral has their own team. They play against, like, a St. Martin de Porres or, like, another team across the county. And they just want this kind of, like, competitive feeling of being able to play against parishes, being able to play against other, like, members of the community, you know, like, it's grown from the 10 years ago that it started, because it just started with soccer. 5 or 6 years ago, basketball that joined in. So it's just gotten bigger. Like, of course, it started small, like, we're talking 4 or 5 teams, and then now it's just been growing to 10, 12 teams joining every season. Next year, I'm already getting calls for a team to join. So it's just something that we know people want, and people are willing to, like, come out here and play and show up on Saturdays. And it's great because you see their fans bring posters and just cheer them on. So it's like, you know, they're like, their fans, the people playing, they all want this. They all, like, love it and enjoy it.
Right. We're visiting with Carlo Campana. He's the coordinator of the Young Adult Sports Leagues in the Orange Diocese. What's the level of play? I mean, if I'm not very good but I want to play, or if I'm really advanced and want to, you know, test my skills against other advanced players, are there different levels of play depending on how good a player is?
Yeah, we currently have – each team has its mix. So there's, like, maybe, like, a couple players who are really great players, and then the others that are just learning, and some that have been playing for a couple of years. But there's a great mix between every single team. It's just – you don't have to be the best. You don't have to be – you can be someone new to the game. Last year, for instance, when I joined and had my team playing, we had somebody that had no idea how to play, and then we just taught them on, like, during practices during the week, and then on games we just explained to them little by little. And it's, you can use this as a learning experience. Usually a new team joining in, it takes them a season or two to adapt to the league, and then after that they just immediately kind of just grow into it and realize that, hey, I need to make some changes. Hey, I need to practice a little bit more. Hey, like, I need to do this. It all depends on the teams. Most teams have, of course, like, they're really great star players, and then it's just based on these really great role players that they, like, keep on the team and then just continue on, just going on from there. So, and every team changes during the years, you know, like, sometimes some people aren't able to play 1 year, so they sit out a whole year and then they come back the next year after that.
Yeah, definitely sounds like a lot of fun. You know, we seem to live in a more polarizing world, seems, you know, the day after day. There's a lot of talk about if people would get out more and visit with their neighbors and play with their neighbors, that, you know, you wouldn't have, you know, maybe this hate that we seem to have so much in the world. Do you find that there's a component where when, you know, people getting together and just having a good time and it's just bringing neighborhoods and people together?
Yeah, definitely. I've noticed that a lot of teams that have joined came from playing, you know, at their church or at their park or at a school and they're in, like, on a basketball court or a soccer field. And they bring that, like, enthusiasm and excitement onto, like, this league. I mean, we just see this camaraderie between players because it's just, it's not, you know, like, hey, like, we're going to get in a fight kind of thing. It's like, hey, like, if you fall down or I accidentally push you down, like, they're just helping each other out no matter what team they're on. No matter what's going on, they're like, hey, this is just the game. We're doing it for the love of the game, but we're not here like to do take it any further from that. So, and that's something that I love from this group that we have of young adults, that they're all just, they love the game. They're not there for any other reason than just for that. They're just playing the game. They want to have fun. They want to enjoy it. They want to make the most out of the league. And that's something that's like amazing to me that I see, because I've heard, like, you know, like some issues that happen sometimes off the court, but I'm like, hey, like, I'm happy you guys don't bring those onto the court. You guys actually leave that outside.
We're visiting with Carlo Campana, the coordinator of the Young Adult Sports Leagues in the Diocese of Orange. You know, obviously it's run through the diocese. There's a Catholic component to it. Is there a faith component to what happens out there? Do you find people sharing their faith with one another?
What we have them do is they pray before each game together. As both teams that are going to play, they pray together. After, you'll hear, like, we have a couple youth ministers and a couple young adult ministers on the teams, and you just hear them inviting them to events. What I try to do is also, like, pass out flyers from upcoming events, you know, like, hey, like, do you want, I hear people going, like, hey, we're going to Mass tomorrow, want to join us? And it's great just seeing them, like, move this forward on. They don't let too much of the feelings of, like, we're not on the same team get in the way. They're just like, no, it's like, this is an opportunity to reach out to other young adults that maybe don't get to hear about these great, like, opportunities to go to Mass or go to a night of worship or something like that just because they're not attending other events, you know. So it's nice to know that they're being reached out to.
Right, so, right.
We'll take it from there. But there's always been an interest for, like, volleyball. Just being in Orange County, people love volleyball. And then also softball seems to be one of the biggest sports that I've seen kind of rising within young adults. So it's something that I really am taking an interest in, and I'm hoping that, well, once I add it, those people that are interested will join. There's already a couple teams that are ready to sign up, actually, so it looks like softball is the winner in this case right now for a league.
Why do you think tennis is so popular?
Tennis and volleyball, it just seems to be that sport that, you know, there's tennis courts available almost anywhere you go. High school, you had, like, pairs and singles playing, so I've just seen it grow, like, you can watch it on TV, like, more often now. It just seems like once, like, the popularity just grows in that sport, people, like, high school and young adults want to just start playing it. So it just becomes now my job to make it something that's offered here. So I love doing that. I love it when you guys challenge me. I love it when people just tell me, like, hey, I want to do this. So now my job is to make it happen for these young adults and people who want to play. So,
are you participating, or do you get out there? Do you play?
I try to play when I can, but right now, since I'm like coordinating the league and trying to make sure everything's running smoothly, I get to watch. But as soon as I get everything rolling, everything's smoothly transitioning and working out, I'll get to join in. But I can't wait to get back out there. Basketball is my sport and something that I've played and coached for years. And I just love being able to work through this right now and having something offered for them and just talking sports in general.
Right. I know there's always a battle for space, for court time. You know, are you finding difficulties there, or are you finding it's easier to find, you know, the fields and the courts to use?
Luckily, for instance, for basketball, our home court is Rosary High School. They've been such a great help to us. They're always willing and open to us to use their gymnasium. And it's great because it's like I get to know the people. We've worked with them for years. And then, for instance, now for soccer, we use St. Jean the Last Neck in Tustin, Santa Ana area. So also they open the doors to us. So it hasn't been too much of the struggle of having to find a gym, but now that I'm looking in the softball realm, that's going to be something that I need to sit down and really take a look at and see who has something to offer and just ask around, because honestly, like, the Catholic world, everybody has their hands open, ready.
they're offering. They're just like, we're here to help, you know, and that's something that's nice that we have that access. As Diocese of Orange, we have this huge field and facility aspect so that we get to use that we created.
No, that's really great to hear. Give them the information one more time. If they want to reach you, they have questions, how do they get a hold of you, Carlo?
All right, they can email me at occsl@rcbo.org if they have any questions, or give me a call at 714-282-3055, and I'm more than happy to help. Any questions, anything you need, I'll be here.
Well, we certainly wish you luck, and we thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Bob. Take care.
All right, that's Carlo Campana. He's the director of the adult sports leagues that are going on in the Diocese of Orange. We'll be right back after this break here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1-acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio, and we take a few moments right now to visit with the head tennis coach out at Modern Day High School, and that is Mike Morwood. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I want to talk a little bit, kind of your history. I like to start off with the coaches, talking about a little bit of the background, how you got into the sport of tennis, and kind of what attracted you to the sport.
I was a football, basketball player through high school, and to be honest with you, I always loved tennis, but the only reason I really took it up is because, you know, I guess I was in my late teens, early 20s. My girlfriend threatened to leave me if we didn't start playing a sport that she could participate. So I said, well, I love tennis, and she loved tennis, so we started playing. The problem was I loved it so much that I spent every waking hour playing tennis, and so we ended up breaking up. So consequently, that idea didn't work. But I continued with the sport, played junior college tennis, continued on, started teaching pretty much immediately after college, off and on. Got away from the sport a little bit because I went and moved to Arizona for 10 years and opened up some restaurants and stuff out there. And then when I decided to come back into California, I decided that I wanted to kind of revisit the whole tennis thing. So I started teaching a little bit, playing tournaments, you know, the whole thing that we all do. And lo and behold, I just seemed to have a knack for it, I guess. And before I knew it, I get a phone call from a fellow USPTA member and said that there was an opening at Los Al, and would I be interested? And at the time, I wasn't overly interested because I knew it doesn't pay much money and I had a good job at the time. But I thought, you know, what the heck? A career change might be good for me. I love the sport. I love coaching kids. And so I pretty much quit my job and decided to give it a shot at teaching tennis, and struggled for the first couple of years trying to find a formula and a way of coaching and learning the system. And I was fortunate enough to meet some great coaches along the way that kind of taught me how to organize my time and work with kids. And lo and behold, before I know it, we started developing a program that was starting to become successful at Los Al. And before you know it, we started winning league championships. And of course, the CIF championship was right around the corner. So that was a great experience for me, 10 years there, and I'll never forget it.
Yeah, how important is it that, you know, that whole sports program over at Los Alamitos is really strong? You know, athletics at Los Al is always sure. A big deal over there. Does that help that sure. It's a strong athletic program over there?
I don't think it really helps the lowers. I think the lower sports, for the most part, in a lot of schools are kind of left adrift a little bit. Not that they don't care, but, you know, if you don't win, as long as everything's going smoothly and the kids are happy and kids are developing as human beings, I think they're happy with that. It wasn't an easy move to get the program where it is today. I had a lot of help with understanding how to organize a program and how to develop it. And that came from people like Peter Smith, who was a huge, huge part of teaching me how to develop kids, both as men and as tennis players, the USC coach. And coaches like that, Mitch Bridge over at Long Beach, those people were really huge in helping me understand that it's not just a matter of throwing tennis balls out and having kids go out and hit, but there's an actual development that you have to put in. Once you start doing that, I think kids start looking at your program from the outside, and they start saying, this is where I want to go to school. Plus, Los Alamitos is a great school. I mean, for a public school, it's an incredible school to get to go to and learn. And I think a lot of kids decide, hey, this is not a bad place to be. Plus, I'm going to get a look-see if I get in this tennis program. They're always going to be in the top 10. They're always going to be, you know, in the conversation. So I think that's kind of where the program is now. And I know they're doing some great things over there still. And I'm happy for them. I hope they continue to do things over there.
You were named Coach of the Year in Division I back in 2014. Did you feel like everything was kind of hitting in all cylinders? And then how does this modern day job kind of fall into your lap?
By the grace of God, everything went really well at Los Alamitos. Getting Coach of the Year was a great honor. I don't know how they vote for that. You know, there's a lot of great coaches out there, and I've been incredibly lucky to not only know them, but to befriend a lot of them. So that's been an incredible experience. And the fact that, you know, someone wants to give me an award, I just, you know, I, as a coach, you never go in there thinking I want to get an award. So when you get those are great. Unfortunately, I left Los Alamitos during that time, but this is a fantastic opportunity opened up for me. And I'm incredibly fortunate to be in modern day. It's not just a great institution, but the people there are fantastic. And it's just a great, great group of coaches that are there. Some of the best coaches in the country are there. And I've become a lot of friends with a lot of them. And it's just been a fantastic experience over there. And I'm glad that they saw fit to hire me, because there's a lot of great guys out there that they could have hired. So I'm very fortunate.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we talk about the great sports programs at LoSal. Obviously, modern day, you know, anybody that knows high school sports in Southern California, certainly throughout the state, knows modern day is just full of great athletes and great coaches, a lot of them that have been there a long time. You know, how nice is that to have a stable of other great coaches around you that are maybe resources in ways, too?
Well, I remember our first coaches meeting where all the coaches were there. You know, they have a once-a-month meeting. It was my first time being there. And I was a little bit in awe of, you know, Gary from the basketball program. And, you know, you got the greatest football coach, maybe, you know, Rollins and all these people. And the greatest thing about it was they were so nice to me, and they were just, they helped me and they talked to me. And, you know, Gary and I have become pretty good friends. And we talk all the time. And it's just been like, you know, the celebrity of sports coaches are seem like all in one school. It's just crazy. And it couldn't be nicer people, which you would never imagine how nice these people, but the school's built that way. You know, the kids are, you know, are taught humility and, you know, to understand that it's not all about us, but it's about everybody else around us, the community. You know, it's just a really great experience to be not just a coach there, but just to be in that environment and understand that their values are not just about winning and losing, but just developing people. And as a coach, you can't ask for more for have an athletic department that supports you, not just your wins and losses, which is important, but how you're developing kids and, you know, and what after school programs we're doing to help the community and all these sort of things. And I'm very blessed to have been hired there. And I have to thank Phil Bellamo, who was the athletic director at the time, who hired me. He took a chance on me, and I'm very grateful to him in the program.
Visiting with Mike Morwood, he's the head varsity tennis coach out at Modern Day High School. Coach, John Kessler is obviously a name in the tennis community in Orange County that a lot of people probably know. If you don't know him, he's built a couple of programs, obviously the boys and the girls, at University High School in Irvine. I know you know him very well. How do you build a tennis program in that way, and is there anything you can learn from that great university program you're able to apply at Modern Day?
Well, first of all, John's one of the good guys. I think one of the things that's very attractive about university, obviously it's a great school to be at, and it sits right in the middle of tennis, you know, land where everybody seems to play tennis in that area. But I'll tell you, that is one of the class guys in tennis I've ever met.
Yeah, he certainly is. I agree.
Yeah, and one of the reasons I think kids go there is just because everybody, I mean, I remember my first time going to university and all my kids on my tennis team kept instead of talking about how great university was, they kept talking about how great John Kessler was. And then I met the guy, and we became fast friends and competed pretty hard against each other up in Ojai and whatnot. And there isn't a greater guy out there. And for him to have won so many championships and still have the humility. And not only that, but his support for other programs is unbelievable. And I just and that's one of the reasons his program is so well, that he's just a really well-liked guy. And I think as a coach, there's two things that you have to have, and that you've got to be organized and you have to be a nice guy. You just got to be, you know, people want to come to your program. Parents want, you know, first of all, parents make that decision whether that kid's going to go to your school or not. And if they don't think that's a good program, if they don't think the coach has control of the program, that they don't like the coach, there's other places they can go. Because remember, we're a private school, so they can just go to a public school and just as easily. So there has to be a reason for people to want to come to Modern Day. And I'm hoping that that's what we're creating there, is that, hey, there's a coach there that really cares about the kids. Hey, there's a coach there that's really developing a program. It's not just about having kids show up and play tennis, but they're actually developing them as tennis players. And a lot of them, hopefully, I think we'll probably start next year, we're going to start sending some kids to some really good colleges to play tennis, because the program's getting that strong. So that's really where the calling card is, I think. It you know, people say coaching isn't really that important in tennis, and I disagree. I think the kids have a choice to not play tennis at all in high school and just play tournaments. But if they feel there's a coach in that school that can help them or has the connections and has the ability to get them to that next level, they're going to want to go to that school, and that's hopefully what we're bringing to them.
Visiting with Mike Morwood, the head tennis coach at Modern Day High School. Coach, you know, just kind of looking at your schedule here, the Trinity League Championships, it seems like it kind of came up quick there. Maybe not for you, yeah. But as I was looking at it, the championships were held recently, and you got a doubles team that won a league title. Catherine Wynn and Natasha Hill took the doubles championship 6-2, 6-3 over their rivals at Santa Margarita. That's got to be an exciting time anytime you get a champion like that.
Yeah. Natasha's a freshman. She's going to be an incredibly big part of our program going forward. Catherine's a senior who is actually probably our best doubles player, but has been one of those kids that just plays wherever we want her to play. We kind of moved her all over the place and finally settled her in with Natasha, and they haven't lost yet. I think they pretty much dominated every match they play, and it's just been a real treat to watch them play. And we're really excited about individuals coming up to see what they can do. So, yeah, we switched them halfway through the league season. We had to make a little shakeup in the lineup to kind of stimulate our lineup a little bit. And it was a little bit of a daring move, but it worked out for the best. And we were able to beat Santa Margarita decisively in the last time we played them, which is what gave us the league championship. So, yeah, so it's kind of worked out not only as a team, but for Natasha and Catherine as well.
Well, we want to thank you, Coach, for joining us here on Catholic Sports TV. We wish you good luck the rest of the way, and we know we're going to be keeping an eye on you as you build this program even to bigger and bigger heights out at Modern Day.
Great. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it. Want to thank all my guests this week on Catholic Sports View, Rich Fisher, Carlo Campana, and, of course, Coach Mike Morwood. Thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. For more information on this program, go to occatholic.com/radio. You can catch all our past programs there and let us know what you think about the show. Thank you for joining us. My name is Bob Gibson, and we'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View.